All is not fair. I was 8. I'd done my homework. I'd learnt all the words for the spelling test, so I sat in my usual place next to Pamela, my best friend. We smiled at each other, confident, pencils poised for the test. We were clearly destined to be best friends, judging by the contrast in our physical appearances. Pamela was blonde, well-rounded, and extremely pretty. I was rather plain, tall and skinny, with straight, mousy brown hair. We were both brownies, in the pack run by the teacher administering the spelling test. The teacher lived across the road from us. I had already worked out that she had favourites, and I was not one of them, even though I tried my hardest. All the girls in our class were members of the brownies. The ones she liked were elves. All the others, including me, were imps. Pamela was an elf. I was sad, because I had wanted to be an elf. But my mother told me it was just random. This girl here, that girl there, and so on. I tried very hard to believe her, because I know my mother wouldn't have had favourites. She was a Sunday school teacher. In our family, we were all favourites. Me, because I was the eldest and the only girl. Nigel, because he was the first son and eldest boy. Then Adrian, the youngest, always to be special as her last baby. Something I fully understood when I became a mother. So although there must have been sibling rivalry, I don't remember it. My grandparents came to live with us when I was about 7, and Adrian, being the youngest, was Grandad's little Robin and probably the one joy in Grandad's life after Grandma died. Nigel and I were grateful to escape that responsibility. There was only one television in our house, and that was in Grandad's room. We had to knock on the door and ask if we may watch something. Fortunately, back in the early 1960s, there wasn't a choice of programmes if you didn't have independent TV, which you had to pay for. That channel had Bonanza, which we would have loved. But even while we tried to watch The Lone Ranger on BBC, Grandad would mutter, terrible pictures, every time a gun was shot. So Nigel and I mostly played outside games. We had many trees, all of which presented a challenge. The trees with the low branches became our circus. We were acrobats, swinging from branch to branch. A higher tree with a U-shaped branch was a camel on which we rode like Lawrence of Arabia into the desert. We had pirate ships, we had our dens. One day, in my competitive determination to be better, I climbed to the very highest branches of the horse chestnut tree, only to look down and panic. My lovely dad had to get a ladder and rescue me, for I was frozen to the branch. But in our outdoor games, we apparently made a loud noise, disturbing the peace of the neighbourhood. We made go-karts from whatever pieces of wood we could find around. Nigel even took the wheels off my doll's pram, but I acquiesced if I could have first ride. Our house was situated at the top of a steep hill, so biking and go-karting were an obvious activity. My best friend Pamela wasn't keen on those things, so when I went to her house, we played with our dolls. It was so much more fun playing dolls with a friend. My brothers were useless, just not interested. Was that due to the gender indoctrination of the time? Didn't matter, I had balance. Thus, most of the time, I joined in the games with my brothers and their friends. Our go-karts crashed, so we made another, on which we screamed our way down the hill. We understood that the last and steepest part of the drive went straight into a main road, so we had to rein in and pull to the left as we approached the danger point, which we did. We didn't want to die. But clearly, our juvenile games were too noisy for some people, because my mother was very upset to receive an anonymous complaint from a neighbour, saying that her children were too noisy. We tried to keep quiet, we really did. It transpired that the complainant was none other than my schoolteacher. School was important to me. I did my homework over and above. Total nerd. I relished spelling tests. Not so much mental arithmetic, but that's another story. So there I was, pencil poised, smiling at my bestie when the test started. All done, I confidently passed my paper to Pamela for marking as she passed hers to me. We went through it all, marked it, and handed it back. I was devastated. There was an error. That could not be possible. I looked through it and was horrified. An O had been changed to an A. My hand shot up. My teacher barely raised her eyes. This is wrong, I said, confused. Don't try to cheat, said my teacher. I looked at Pamela. She met my gaze, gave a smirk, and put her 20 out of 20 paper in her desk. That was the moment that changed my whole approach to life. The moment when I realised that life was not fair, that it was no good throwing a tantrum, having a hissy fit. It was pointless fighting for explanations and closure. Sometimes you just had to take a deep breath, sit up straighter, and carry on.